Welcome to the Wall Street Journal's Small Business Report. I'm Gordon Deal. Today's stories include a new way of discovering new business, why employees who refuse to take vacations can be problematic in the office, and how to improve your presence in different aspects of your life, including work. We'll begin with this, a different approach to finding new customers. More from the Wall Street Journal's Joe Connolly.
A business owner sent me a book published a few years ago titled Blue Ocean Strategy that says to really grow, you need to find three groups of non-customers. Those at the edge of your market, those who want nothing to do with your industry, and those who've never even thought about your industry. Pret-a-Manger went after the edge of the market by selling to those who brought their own lunch or skipped lunch because they didn't want fast food and they also didn't want to wait. Deco Advertising sold to non-customers who said that highway billboards don't make a lasting impression by inventing advertising at bus stops years ago. The example of selling to those who never thought about an industry because they assumed it was only for the rich is the tooth whitening industry. Blue Ocean Strategy says with supply of products and services exceeding demand in some industries now, trying to win away competitors' customers just won't cut it in the long run. You have to find or invent new customers. Look away to growth opportunities. An example they cite is Cirque du Soleil. They appeal to a whole new group of customers who were prepared to pay a premium, too, and their first production was titled We Reinvent the Circus. Blue Ocean Strategy says to beat the competition, stop trying to beat the competition. I'm Joe Connolly for the Wall Street Journal.
Thank you, Joe. Ever work with somebody who never takes time off? Employees who refuse to go on vacation can cause problems for an entire office. More than 1 in 6 employees take no vacation at all, and human resource experts say that risks their well-being and performance. Wall Street Journal columnist Sue Schellenbarger has a look at why they do it and what some companies are doing about it. Sue, what's the scenario?
Well, when you've got somebody who just will not go out on a break, it can cause problems for the whole office because they won't delegate duties. They might make their colleagues feel guilty for taking any time off. And some of these non-vacation takers actually get psychological rewards from this. So even the best company policies sometimes don't work for them. Sometimes they simply have to be ordered by the boss to take time off.
Generally speaking, why does this group of people not want to take vacation?
Some of them believe they're advancing their careers. They think that they're proving to the boss they care more about their jobs than anyone else. And there's some evidence, unfortunately, that they're right. There are studies that show that a small minority of managers are less likely to promote you if you take all your vacation time. This is not prevalent, but it does happen. And other people, they just dread the idea of coming back to a big backlog. And still others, believe it or not, have a real sense of obligation to their team. They don't want their teammates to be dumped on. And in a culture where there isn't enough manpower to go around, that can be a real problem.
We're speaking with Wall Street Journal columnist Sue Schellenbarger about employees who won't take vacation and how problematic that can be at the office. Can a company actually force an employee to take time off?
Well, I interviewed actually a couple of them that do. In one small company, the COO mandates at minimum of 2 weeks vacation. This is in a really fast-paced startup where people just weren't taking time off. Another CEO actually offers a $7,500 vacation allowance. It's a paid vacation to pay the financial cost of a vacation. And this employer at Full Contact, Bart Lerang, said that he saw his people really getting grim and worn down. He set a very liberal vacation policy, but it seemed like giving them the cash to allay the financial stress was the only way to get them to leave.
Not everybody can do that, obviously. Thank you, Sue. Wall Street Journal columnist Sue Schellenbarger. Coming up next, improving your home and workplace presence.
Your Buick Certified Service Technicians would like you to think about something. And no, it has nothing to do with oil levels or brake pads or tire wear. They'd like you to think about the view from the window of the bed and breakfast you'll be visiting this weekend, or the crust on the beef Wellington you plan to make at your cooking class tomorrow. As the experts in Buick maintenance, they'd like you to think about the lyrics of the new song you just discovered on your drive to work, or the sunset you plan to enjoy on the ride home. The Buick Certified Service Experts would like you to think about anything but the maintenance of your Buick. That's their job. If you don't know worry-free service, you don't know Buick Certified Service. and now's the perfect time to experience it for yourself. Get AC Delco Professional Durastop brake pads installed for only $99.95 or less per axle every day. Includes rotor inspection. Retail customers only. Turning or replacing rotors, all other services and tax extra. Excludes select vehicles. Visit BuickCertifiedService.com for details and to find a participating dealer.
We'll finish up with this. What kind of presence do you have in different aspects of your life? It's a growing part of what it means to be a leader in the boardroom, at the dinner table, or on Twitter. You know the people who have it, right? The person who gets the attention of both senior managers and interns at the morning meeting, who sends out witty tweets in the afternoon, and who glides effortlessly through the after-work cocktail party, never at a loss for words. Wall Street Journal reporter Elizabeth Holmes says presence is deeper than a personal brand. Elizabeth, what is it?
So it's this sort of magical combination of gravitas and communication skills and a little bit of your appearance thrown in that all add up to your presence, which is something I'm really interested in because I write obviously a lot about fashion and style, but then also a lot about social media and your sort of presence online. Mm-hmm. So we wanted to take a look and understand a little bit more about what this is and how you can go about getting it, because I think it's more important than ever to have a consistent presence in your work life, in your personal life, and online too. And a lot of the experts I talk to, the executive coaching world is very big on presence right now. One of them boiled it down to three different things. It's how you behave, how you talk, and how you look. And if you sort of think about those three buckets, the first, how you behave, is the most important. And that's a combination of your confidence and your ability to command a room, say. It's your body language and things like that. It's communication is also very important. You want to be able to convey what you're trying to say in a very clear manner and get people to sort of go along with you. And then also your appearance is really important. It's the least important of the three, but it's the first filter. It's something people use to sort of subconsciously judge you. And so if you don't pass that test, they're not going to be paying attention to your behavior or your communication skills.
Wow. And this stuff is applicable at work, at home too, right? And online.
Yes. I talked to somebody who has been working on her presence, and she said, you know, presence isn't just something you can have Monday morning when you're really well rested at the office. Yeah. You know, you have to have it on weekends with your kids. You have to have it after hours with your spouse. And especially I've learned in my profession that you have to have it on social media too. You have to make sure that the person that you are and the image that you project matches up with your real life persona. You can run into some dangers because you need them to sort of marry well if it's going to help you get ahead professionally and personally.
We're speaking with Wall Street Journal reporter Elizabeth Holmes about how to increase your presence, certainly at work and also at home and online. So where do you begin then if you feel that your presence is lacking, for example?
So the first thing that you should do is do sort of a self-assessment of, you know, who you are and what your strengths and weaknesses are. And then from there, you need to talk to a lot of people in your life. So if you're looking to improve professionally, you can talk to your coworkers or your boss and ask for really honest feedback. Ask them to go through your strengths and weaknesses and not just sort of make general statements like, I don't feel you're a good listener, but give examples of times when they didn't think that and give you some examples of behaviors that you can specifically change to improve. The same is true in your personal life. Somebody I talked to said, talk to your spouse, talk to your kids, ask them for their feedback on you and try and apply that if you know, you're lacking in areas that you want to be a lot stronger.
Thanks, Elizabeth. Wall Street Journal reporter Elizabeth Holmes in New York. If you want more on small business topics, trends, and startup ideas, check out WSJ.com and click the Small Business tab. I'm Gordon Deal for The Wall Street Journal.